This morning, I've got to turn this on. That's right. Have we got number one on there? Here's my title this morning: The Challenge for the Last Day's Disciple. Will the real Latter-day Saints stand up? Now, that won't mean a thing to you unless you know that one of the names for the Mormons is the Latter-day Saints. You all knew that, did you? Okay, well, I'm not one. I've only got one wife. And although they dispute that now, but if you go to America, you'll still find some of it. It's just that marriage has been thrown out the window. But what I believe is they've stolen a title that actually is the right of the church and the people of God, and especially in the last days. We don't talk too much about the last days. One of Satan's real tricks and successful tricks is that to many in the church now, they have actually put on the back burner, or if not at the bottom of the file, the whole understanding that this world is going to come to an end. Is there anybody who believes that this morning? Yeah, you believe it? Praise God.
May it start today.
May it start today. Might. I don't think it will, but that's my theology. But let me tell you, I do believe there is so much going on in our world today. Things that have never been of the magnitude. There has been things happened the same. Evil in men has been throughout all the generations. But there are things happening today, and there are things happening in the church that I want you to know is already written there for us to understand. So I'm going to put the next one up if I can do that. Does it work or not?
Switched on at the side.
Switched on at the side. Yeah, switched on. So there we go. Ah, okay. Who's got a good reading voice? You're all illiterate. About 20 of you at least in here with degrees, but you're all illiterate. Right, then can you come up here, Rachel?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to honour you, because I want you to read. If they're not going to come and read, I'll tell you what I'm going to get them to do. I want you to honour the word of God, so can you stand in the presence of God's word? Whichever's biggest. Okay, I want you to look at the words very clearly, and I want you to hear them, because this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And by the way, this morning, if anything I say worries you, upsets you, offends you, I want you to know these are the words of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. These are not just Paul Randerson's words. These are the words of Scripture. Do you believe Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe the Apostle Paul?
Yes.
Phew, that makes it easier for me. Because this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Thank you, Rachel. Okay. Want a microphone?
1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron.
You did so well, I'm going to let you have another go. Thank you.
2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now what?
Next one.
Persecutions. Matthew 24, verses 9 to 14. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Hold on. No, we'll leave that one for now. We'll leave that one for now. Thank you, Rachel. Didn't you do great? You can take the teacher out of the school, but you can never take, you know what I'm saying? So I want to sum that up in case I don't get very far, because you know sometimes I start and I need to know when to stop. But I want to give you something this morning, which I've entitled Seven Challenges of the Last Day's Disciple. Now, you can read all them, probably won't get through them all, but I want to talk to you first from number one, and I want to say to you that I believe that it's really, really important. I'm going to put my large one there so I can see it. There you go. I have called and said number one is this. The challenge of the last day disciple, because you know we've been looking at, well, when I've been here the last two or three months, I've been looking at what is a disciple, a follower, a learner, somebody who goes beyond just belief but becomes someone who actually seriously follows Jesus Christ. And the commission of Matthew 28. By the way, I find these days, I never hear this mentioned anymore, but I want to mention it this morning. Did you know there's four different commissions? There's Matthew 28, is also in Luke's Gospel, there's also in Mark's Gospel, and it's also in John's Gospel. It's just said different ways with different emphasis on each one. So the Matthew emphasis is this. Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth, therefore go into all the world. Now, I want to tell you, if you know anything about language, go is often used by the church as the imperative. That's what we should do. We should go. I don't disagree with that, but I want to be honest with you. It's not the imperative. The imperative is go, and the imperative, make disciples. Why is that? Because in 1948, when the Christian missionaries left China, and all they'd done is have Western-style churches, the church almost ended. Had to go underground and completely start over. Because basically they had produced people who went to buildings, not disciples of Jesus Christ. Thank God those who went underground realized that. And so today there are possibly estimated roughly about 90 million Christians in China. So we see that in actual fact, Jesus says, go and make disciples. Now that's become a big issue that Satan has fallen over. So if you look in Mark's Gospel, you put a different emphasis on the commission. Mark talks about going and what will happen when you go. These signs shall follow those that believe. Yeah? In my name, you'll cast out demons. In my name, you'll lay hands on the sick and whatever. And in Luke's Gospel, he then says, go and preach a message. That's his commission. Go and preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. So he tells us what our message is. And then in John's Gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, as I was sent, so I am sending you. So the go part is there in John's Gospel. But there are four. When we talk about the Great Commission, make sure you understand all four, because they all have some emphasis that we need to apply to our lives. Now, that's not in my notes. I just give you that for a freebie. But you need to realize that when we come to Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking, and if you've got your Bibles, if you haven't, then if you're on a phone or whatever, as long as Google's turned off, I'm not bothered. But the whole passage of Matthew 24 comes out of an understanding of the destruction of the temple and what is going to happen. And the disciples asking Jesus the question. And Jesus says, verse 2, Matthew 24, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they began to ask him, now tell us, verse 3, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And the rest of the passage is all about the signs of his coming and the end of the age. Now I have to be honest with you, I'm very clear, that sometimes in the Bible, when we talk about times, as we will in 2 Timothy 3, perilous times, really horrible times will come. That word times there, right, doesn't necessarily only mean the end time, but it doesn't exclude it. So let me explain that simply. There's two words for time in the Greek language. One is chronos, from where we get chronograph, yeah? And the other is kairos, which means a period, a season. Now in 2 Timothy 3, it says perilous seasons will come. So the last days, which began at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was sent for 2,000 years, there has been seasons of terrible things happening in the world and in the church. But here they're saying, what will be the sign of the end of that? What will be the very sign at the last? And Jesus goes on to tell them what's going to happen. And Paul, in his epistles, picks up on that very clearly as well. And the first things that we see here, if you read it in Matthew 24, let's read it together. I'm going to read, wow, it's a long passage to read, so I can't read it all. But let me tell you that, let's start from verse 4. Take heed no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many. And you'll hear of wars. Any wars going on? Rumors of wars. You see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The word there, by the way, is not just countries. There are 200 countries, but there are 24,000 ethnic groups. Okay? What we find at the moment in Turkey is they're not fighting another country. They're finding an ethnic group, the Kurds. Yeah? And so Jesus says, every one of these nations and ethnic groups will rise against each other, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. Have we got that? Pestilences, earthquakes in various places. It's not my point this morning to prove those scientifically, but they can easily be proved. All these are the beginning of sorrows, and they will deliver you. Oh, hang on a minute. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. The many will be offended. They'll betray one another. They'll hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up to deceive many. And because of lawlessness or wickedness will abound. Let me go back to that one just for a minute. There you go. What does that version say? Lawlessness means wickedness. Will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached into all the world and a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So what's my first point? My first point is the challenge of last day disciples will be to see all around us a new ice age. And yet to live for a new age. Now, I'm not talking here about climate change. Not physically, but I am spiritually. Because this is serious stuff here. It says, because lawlessness will abound. Wickedness will abound. I don't know about you. This week when I heard about 39 people in the back of a truck for greed and money, and then you hear from Vietnam and you hear the text messages and I start crying. Wickedness. Yeah? There's a program on TV last night, I suppose, while you're all watching Strictly. But on the other side, there's a program about Syria and a family trying to bring up their child and have a baby in the middle of the Syrian war and living in Aleppo and trying to move and live every day. It was heartbreaking. I sat crying. Do I do that for fun? No, I do that because I don't want to lose the sense of what's really going on out there. See, I can shut it all off. I know I've done it. Yeah? I can plan my Saturdays if it's a nice relaxed one where I can get up and have my time with the Lord and do a bit in the garden or nip to Tesco's or whatever. Come back for the 12:30 and watch a bit of football and whatever and then do a bit more, go out and do a bit more, wash the car, keep my in my nice little word, wash my car, make it look nice and so on. And then, you know, go out with Mary somewhere. Or whatever. And I can live in my lovely first world nation and think that I've closeted myself, but out there are millions of people on this planet that do not live like that. And the Bible says what's going to happen, that in the end times, which we are clearly in, because we're not on the day of Pentecost anymore, we're 2,000 years further on, so we must at least be in a season, not a chronos, not necessarily chronological, but in a season at this time before Jesus Christ returns, where there's going to be these things taking place that are going to get worse and worse and worse. And wow, this is, Paul, I came for you to bless me this morning. I came for you to lift me up. I want to tell you, friends, when people say to me, and I've just been away lecturing at the Gypsy College of the first and second year pastors intake at the student college in Pentrenant Hall in Wales. And I want to tell you, when I was sharing some of this stuff with them, when I was sharing the fulfillment of Genesis right through to the end, when I was telling them, I was so encouraged by their passion. Because, you know, in these days, we've got to make up our mind, because it's right there in Matthew. It says, what does it say? The love of many will grow cold. So am I in these days going to be part of the spiritual ice age? Or am I going to be those that say here, but he that endures to the end? I don't really like that word enduring. It means when you get stitched, you've got to keep going. When it's tiring, you ask Daryl about when you get stitched. I haven't had it for a long time. I don't get it swimming. That's what I do. But listen, it means you have to come to a place where you push through pain. Where you say, I've got to go further. See, the end time church, friends, if we're not careful, people have got into a triumphalistic thing. Oh, it's going to be a glorious church. It's going to be... Well, I can give you some scriptures that can concur with some of that. But what kind of church is it going to be? Is it going to be, can't possibly be, a church that's going through another ice age? Getting colder and colder and colder and colder. Formal and dead. But what Jesus says, and it's a bit of what you call a dichotomy, because he says, the love of many. So, would you agree with me? He must be talking about the church, because you've got to be loving God to lose your love. Yeah? The love of many will grow cold. But he says, but he that endures to the end will be saved. This is the last day disciples. There's an enduring. There's looking at those verses that you won't find in them daily readings that always tell you how God's going to give you another blessing. How God's... Now, I don't disagree with those. But there's also things that tell you that you need to stand up. You need to pick up your cross. You need to follow Jesus no matter what it costs. You need to obey him. Yeah? And that means we have to endure to the end. But you know what's going to happen? Through that group of disciples, something else is going to happen. This gospel of the kingdom will then be preached, not by those that's got cold, because they never even turned up, but by the ones who are enduring, the ones who want to press through, the ones who believe God answers prayer, the ones who turn up to prayer meetings, the ones who are there not just doing their own thing, And just doffing the cap at God occasionally when they come to church. No, this is a different level. This is people in the end. And I want to tell you, friends, because God's enabled me to travel around the world, all around the world I know people who are living and enduring for Jesus. Got friends in Central Asia who had a nice home. But as soon as they knew there was a door of immigration open into that country next door, they said, "We're going, Paul." "What do you mean you're going to take kids out of school?" "Yeah." "What do you mean you have to find another job?" "Yeah." "We're going." That never even crosses our minds. He that endures, presses in. He that says, this is what it is to be a disciple. Wow. Oh, my word. Because the issue we see in these two groupings is one thing alone. How much you love Jesus. Excuse me for pulling my trousers up. I went to Spain with Barry and Karen. I thought it was a relaxing holiday, but it was a ballooning holiday. I put £5 on. But listen to me, friends. We're going to have to choose, because I want to tell you, out there at the moment, not outside the church, in the church, there is some stuff going on that has nothing to do with God. Yeah? Nothing to do with God. And Jesus says, the love of many will grow cold. So that's one group. But there's this other group that's so passionate. They're saying, we must go with mission because there's places in this world where God is not yet worshipped, where Jesus is not yet known about. And we saw that must be some Central Asian republic. No, it's your neighbours. It's your work colleagues. They would rather look at things in a newspaper for their future and stars. They would rather look and hear and go and pay for this and that and get some kind of healing than ever turn to God. We're living in a nation, friends, that's lost its God consciousness. So when it says all the nations, don't think, well, here's England, like the 19th century missionaries do. We'll send them all out to these godless nations. I want to tell you, we are part of those godless nations. We are part of it. And this gospel of the kingdom has got to be preached in this country through a group of people who are on fire for God. When I was preparing this, it was just before I went to Wales. Oh my God, I couldn't believe it. They're giving the schedule. Then you got five lectures a day. Oh, and by the way, we get up at 5 o'clock for our first prayer time. And we go through until 7 and we have breakfast. Then we have another devotion time. Then you start lecturing. You go all morning, have break for lunch, go all afternoon. And then you preach to us at night. I was thinking about them, not me. Having to listen to it all. Yeah? Well, this is the overview of the Old Testament. This is what world missions is. This is how you plant a church. This is what we do. This is what apostles and prophets are. Questions, questions, answers. Oh, we're going longer, 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 longer. But I tell you what God said to me. If there's anywhere I'm going to move at the moment in England, it's amongst the gypsy community. Because their new pastors are so full of passion. Did you know at the end of this month, 31st of October, the second year students, many of them got a map and said, here's gypsies all over England where there's no church. There's gypsy communities. So one young fella, he said to me, Paul, he said, will you pray for us? Because I'm going back home to hitch up my caravan from Wolverhampton and we're heading for Cornwall or Devon and we're going to move round the sites until God says stop and plant a church. Do you ever think of that? I tell you, I've come back just from being away and I'm so excited, you know, because the gypsies on our Swaffham site now have just asked Brecklin Council if they can have a porter cabin put on for a meeting place for church. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yeah. See, we're too lazy. You wouldn't get up at 5 o'clock every day, would you? No. I wasn't very happy about it. But I was challenged. Yeah, I was challenged. Challenged because sometimes You know me. I tell Daryl, I said, Daryl, I ain't coming to none of those hog roasts. Sorry, mate. Because why you get 130 at a hog roast, but only 30 at a midweek meeting to pray? Oh, ouch, did that hurt? Good. Let's sort out some sheep from goats, shall we? Oh, dear Paul, be careful. Don't upset me. Anyway, the issue is love. How much do you love Jesus? How's that demonstrated? Well, I can only do in natural terms. I love this lady. Next month we'll have been married 40... I'm glad. 44 years. And it's been all kinds of different levels, through all kinds of stuff, all through in life, whatever, bringing up children, paying mortgages, blah, 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 blah. But I still love her. Yeah. And I said to her the other day, when it was her birthday, I said, I love you more now, darling, than when I first met you. Do you know what? I want my love to Jesus. I said to her, face on, she'll tell you this, I said, there's only one person I love more than you, and that's Jesus. What's your level? What's your love for Jesus like? What's the reality of your love for Jesus? Because this is going to be the mark, demarcation point in the last days. Disciples who say, we are not going with that cold bunch. We are not part of the ice age that's getting colder. We are going to be part of that church that's getting hotter and hotter. Do you know what? Sadly, the more we do that, the more the world and some in the church won't like it. They won't like what you represent. Now, I've only got to number one, it's 12 o'clock. In Revelation chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5, Jesus says to the church in Sardis, I'm speaking to you, church, because you are dead. All my life. Can you imagine having that message? Can you imagine if somebody comes in next week and says, LCF, I'm just coming to speak to you. But a word from God, you are dead. First thing we ought to do as leaders, if we had that kind of message, is fall on our face. Don't you think so? Say, God help us. But he says there, but there are a few of you who will walk in white. What does that mean, walk in white? Well, it's a picture of somebody who was actually chosen to live holy and clean. Yeah? That's what it means. And he says, they'll walk with me. They'll see what I've got planned for them. So there you go. That's my first thought this morning. The challenge we're going to face is this. Am I going to be part of the ice age? Or am I going to live for the new age? Because you see, what motivates those on fire for Jesus is this. This gospel of the kingdom. Right. This gospel. You know, the gospel changed my life. The gospel has done everything that I ever needed. It has brought me into a relationship with God. It's led me into a lifestyle of how to please God. And I just want as many as I possibly can to know that God wants the same for them. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the nations of the world. But there's something else that motivates me. And then the end will come. Jesus is coming back. Paul, this is 2019. You know, isn't that a bit outdated? Not at all. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter, in the last days there will be many scoffers, mockers. Where is the promise of his coming? It's not going to happen. Come on. Technology's took over. We understand. No, it's not going to happen. I want to tell you, Jesus said he's coming again. That's why these are the things. Wow, which one shall I do? Shall I finish on another one? Shall I do them all? I ain't got time. Maybe another time. Maybe I have to extend it.
Number four.
Okay, I'll do number four.
Thank you.
See, number four says to live in readiness. This is what a last day disciple will have to face. That he's got to live, or she's got to live in readiness for Christ's return among many in the church who are not. What do you mean I'm not ready? Oh, well, have you read the parables recently? This whole heap of parables about the fact of being ready. Where? Matthew 25, after chapter 24. That story about 10 virgins. Have you heard it? The 10 virgins, they all go to the wedding feast, and some have got lamps and extra, and some have only got what they've got. They all go to sleep. And then the voice comes. The bridegroom is coming. And they all wake up and think, I better be spiritual today. Yeah. And they all go out. And they realize their lamps have gone out. You know what? I can't keep your lamp burning. Only you can keep your lamp burning. Only you can stay full of the Holy Spirit. Only I can stay full of the Holy Spirit in me. Yeah. Church can't do that for you. Atmosphere can't do that for you. It's got to be in your life every day. That's why Paul says, walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. That's my responsibility as a last day disciple, to say, Lord, I want to live in readiness because you might come. See, when I was a young guy, and even before my time, what went round the Pentecostal churches is that there was only two major doctrines they used to emphasize after salvation. One was this: speak in tongues, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the second comers. That's what we're known as. The tongue speakers and the second comers. And the message all the time was, get ready, he's coming. We used to go to conferences where people told us who it could be, might be, and we, all right, they were wrong. But every one of them, whether it's Saddam Hussein or whatever, whether it's Adolf Hitler or whatever, when we look back in history, every one of them was a type of what's going to happen at the end, of the Antichrist that's coming. Talk about that another time. But we need to see, if we're going to be the believers like this, we've got to be ready. Yeah? I've noticed in other countries, they sing a lot more about the Lord's return than we do. Why is that? Because we've got comfortable living here. But you know, if Jesus don't come for another 50 years, I've got news for you. You're going to die. Well, I hope some of you young ones aren't. But the fact is, at some point, we're all going to die. Is that right? And the two disciplines of life that we face, according to Scripture, is one, Jesus is coming. Second, you could die tomorrow. You could die tonight. Yeah? Now, I don't want to build doctrine on fear, but sometimes the only way we can make people realize they need to get right with God, they need to hear the gospel. Because the gospel, friends, see, I can't get away from that point on the gospel, you see, because the gospel is not making you rich, as some American preachers might tell you. I watched a church the other day. Me and Mary watched a program by a guy who was in a wheelchair, a black guy, Ade somebody. And he went to Nigeria, and he went to the big Redeemed Church. And he's not a Christian, he's a backslider actually. He's gone away from the church altogether. And he said this to the main leader: with all the poverty in Nigeria, why do you need your own jet? Hey, I tell you what, there's not many people ask that question. Right? And they gave some answer. I didn't like it. But I want to tell you, friends, we are here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah? It's not about getting rich. Can I say to you, by the way, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is primarily to Israel first before it's to you. And you can only get that if you are born again. And by the way, if you believe all the promises of Israel are for you, can I just add in the words of David Pawson, don't forget if you want all the blessings of Israel on the church, you have to take all the curses too. Hello? Oh no, I just want the blessing. No, they're both. You want the Old Testament blessings which God destined for Israel. You want the blessings, you get the cursings too if you disobey. Oh no, no, God's not like that. Read your Bible. Yeah? Because there's some who will say, no, it's not going to be like that. Now you're in the New Testament. God doesn't do anything like that. But he does. We need to learn again to fear the Lord. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Do you know that? Some don't want to hear that. Oh, don't speak that heavy stuff to me, Paul. Well, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Because I want to tell you, when Jesus comes, this world is going to face wrath. Eh? The only thing he saved us from is the wrath to come. So, wow. Okay, Paul. Hearing you, not liking it too much, but if this is the end times, wow, so I haven't got any oil. Well, get filled with God. Stay filled with God. Will it cost you? Yes. Okay. You asked for number four, I'm going to finish it. It's time. Let me just remind you. If you run out of oil, it says in Matthew 25, it says, Jesus says, not me, Jesus says, when they come knocking, the door's closed. So many people think that we can get saved and live like you want. It's a lie. Grace does not mean you can continue living as you want. You have to respond. If you don't, you'll run out of oil. And he'll shut the door when he comes. Oh, don't say that, Paul. I like to hedge my bets. Have a bit of the world and a bit of God. No. What about those who, oh my word, who were given talents and gifts? The others took their talents from God and said, okay, we'll use them for your kingdom. Use them to expand your kingdom. But one had one and he said, I'm not going to do nothing with it. Do you know what it says? On the day of reckoning, I gave you a responsibility. I gave you an entrustment. What did you do with it? What did you do with my salvation? What did you do with what I blessed you with? What did you do with the gifts and callings I put upon your life? I did nothing. I just buried them. I had my own life to lead. I know, God, you might not be pleased with what I do. It says there, take it from him and chuck him out into outer darkness. A phrase only used of judgment. Oh, don't hear this much, do you?
No.
I heard this preached recently. You're all very quiet this morning. What about the wedding feast? Go and call my guests to the wedding feast. Sorry, but I've bought a house. I can't come. Sorry, I've bought some animals. I need to go and test them out, whether they're going to work in the field. We'll come perhaps later, but I've married a wife. Can't come. And Jesus says, send them out into the highways and byways and compel anybody who will to come in. Come on in. That's why in another place it says there'll be people sat down who in this life were prostitutes and all kinds of stuff. And they sat down in the kingdom of heaven and the ones who should have been there have been shut out. Wow. Oh God. How did that happen? Well, in Luke 14:24, it says this. To those who were too busy, it says Jesus gave their seats to somebody else. Whoa. Did you know 600,000 people came out of Egypt and they called themselves Israel? But not all who came out of Egypt were Israel. Until it ended up whittling down. Until, do you know how many went into the promised land? Two. Gideon had 30,000 men. 300,000 men. Down to 30,000 men. Then go down to the river and drink. Keep your eyes open. They're the ones who are ready. The ones who are keeping their eyes open. Them's the ones that's going to bring my victory. The rest of them were all going, oh, splash it all over me, I love it. All about self. But the others were, I'm on guard. Right? Let me ask you a question. If, it's a big if Jesus came tonight, are you ready? If you died tonight, are you ready? Whoa. What Jesus said is so amazing. Did you know in the Old Testament when Judah was told by the Persian kings, real factual evidence stuff, historically, when they were told by the Persian kings, you can go back to Israel. Just a small remnant went back. Do you know why? The rest of Israel had got used to living in Babylon. Are you living in Babylon more than you're living for the purpose of God? Is your life just about this world? Because I want to tell you, there's a shaking coming. There's a shaking coming. I wish I got time to teach this whole lot, but I'd need till 4 o'clock. And some of you can't stand even teaching for 10 minutes. Let me tell you, friends, Jesus says to those who want to build barns and bigger barns, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. That's the teaching of Jesus. Wow. God, I want to be ready. Amen? I want to be ready. I want to make sure my relationship with you is up to date and relevant. I want to make sure I'm doing what you tell me to do. No matter what my age is. I want to tell you, this couple is probably the oldest in the church, but I know something, they pray for me every day. God doesn't ask you to do what you can't do, but he asks you to do what you can do. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this morning, are you too busy? Are you like the Laodicean church? Oh, were we rich and increased with goods? Yes, I've got 4 holidays abroad. Yes, I've got another new car. Yes, I've got this, and I'm buying another house, and yeah, I'm investing in this and doing all that. Remember that film that we always watch at Christmas? Great Expectations? Yeah? That's the one, isn't it? No, Christmas Carol. That's what God has. Great Expectations. And he opens his garment and there's 2 starving kids. Remember that? Well, see, I'm challenged because I think sometimes we can as individuals just do things because we church. But I want to tell you, Jesus says to me, when you see somebody poor, you do something about it. He doesn't say, tell Daryl. Pick up an offering. He says, you do something about it. Yeah? You give something out of your pocket. It's a personal thing. Because God ain't going to judge KLCF corporately. He's going to judge us individually. Would you agree with that? It's what Paul Anderson's done. So, my brothers and sisters this morning, shall I come back and finish it?
Yes.
Well, one says anyway. I'm back in 2 weeks, so it shouldn't be so long. Listen, my passion this morning, friends, is this. I'll put something into your heart from the Word of God, whether you're 14 or whether you're 91. In these last days, you want to be a disciple. Amen? You want to be a disciple. Because I want to be a disciple when you can't see me. I want to be a disciple when they give me too much change at Tesco's and I take it back. Not because I wouldn't like to keep the fiver, but because my Heavenly Father will bless me if I do what's right. Yeah. My Heavenly Father will do what's right if I turn that TV program on so it don't pollute my spirit. Yeah. My Heavenly Father knows it's not what I've got coming in, not what I give even, it's how much I keep. Because that shows how big self is in my life. I could go on, but I won't. But I want to tell you, I'm excited by the fact of this. And you'll hear me repeat this, and I will end with this. It says in the last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. Hebrews 2 verse 1. And it says in Acts chapter 2, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. How are we going to get the job done? Jesus is going to be with us. The Holy Spirit is going to be filling us. And as we join with a passion, I'm not going cold. I don't want no ice age. I want to tell you, I've been in some places and I think, God, are you here? We need to be careful because it says, when we go into the 2 Timothy one next time, it says, be careful who you join yourselves with. I am not going to sit and pray with people who want me to also pray for a different God. Allah is not the same as Jehovah. I'm not going to sit and pray with people who accept transgender rubbish that the Bible doesn't accept. Be careful, friends, what we align ourselves with, leaders included. We will be judged for what we've made in decisions. Because these are the last days where there's lots of people who want religion but have no relationship with God. I want to be with people who've got a relationship with God. Anybody here this morning? You don't want to be here. I'm not going cold. By the grace of God, I'm not going cold. Amen. If I go cold, tell me.
I'm not going cold.
Amen. No, you tell me if I do. If you see me. If I'm upsetting people, I think I better calm down because the offerings might go down. Please say, don't stop, Paul. Keep going because people must hear the truth. People must hear that Jesus is coming. Yeah. Whether it suits us or not, whether it makes us comfortable or not, easy, convenient church is not what Jesus died for. But if you want it this morning, you might not be there and we're all on a journey. But I want to say to you this morning, close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes for a minute. Don't want to do an appeal because I'll know at the next prayer meeting where you've never been to, you'll be there. Hallelujah. That's how I'll know you're serious about becoming an end time disciple. Yeah. If I'm going to grow, I need to pray. I need to get into prayer meetings where I can learn to pray, where I can need to wrestle with God. I need to wrestle with things of darkness and learn about what's evil spirits and demons that's going on in this world and in the church. I need to come and get right with God and live for God because my schoolmates are already receiving drugs from county lines and they're already going off rails. Parents, what are you going to do about your kids when the mermaids come next year and tell you your kids have got to learn all about transgender stuff? Get writing letters, get going down to the school, get doing it. Why? Because you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And you represent truth. Don't let the Muslims of Birmingham be the only ones. Yeah. Don't let that dear vicar who had to give his job up for the sake of error, for the sake of stuff that's the doctrine of demons. I hope you realize I could get even arrested for saying some of this stuff. But I'm not bothered because 15 years ago, I stood here and said, there'll come a day when we will say things and we will have to put our faith on the line. It's coming, brothers and sisters. Them guys last Sunday night, I spoke to them afterwards. They say, it's not over, this battle. This battle's still going to come stronger and stronger. We need to be careful. Are you going to stand up for truth? Are you going to stand up for what God says?
Yes.
Yeah. Or just you want to be a nice Christian? Nice is so insipid, isn't it? Not many generals have been nice, have they? Right? And when I look at Jesus, I want to tell you, he's absolutely full of the Father's love, but he won't compromise truth for a second. You can love people and speak the truth. You can have an opinion and not be hated. Yeah? You can stand for something. Praise God. Are you ready to be part? Do you want to be part of this? Heavenly Father, I've said a lot. I've only just started. But I ask you, Jesus, this morning, let the real church stand up.